Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes?
Welcome back. Right. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, January 15th. Martin Luther King Day / Civil Rights Day. That's interesting, but you know, speaking of change, that's a whole different story that we won't get into today. But that's fun and exciting. And top of the second hour, so I will do the announcements again briefly. We are at the tail end of the revived second annual John Stabmiller book drive. And this week's book is One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. Donations of $100 or more qualify you for an opportunity to win this fabulous book. We also are doing the New Year Rebel Madman Rabble Raiser, the fundraiser, where the lucky winner will receive a package gift containing the Confederate battle flag, quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards, and bumper stickers. And so you can enter to win that with a gift of $250 or more. And that actually will qualify you for both the quilt and the book. So that's fun. And so obviously, as I always say, the most important aspect of this is supporting the network. And so thank you to those who have and continue to support the network, in this case particularly with regard to these efforts, the second annual John Stabmiller book drive and the quilt packaged gift, including the quilt. So thank you. And as I said in the first hour, and I say always, there is no Ford Foundation grant forthcoming. So this is a listener supported network. Thank you. And you can also check out the RBN Facebook page, Republic Broadcasting Facebook page, if you're on social media. But I will just say, and we're doing Mondays with Mitzi. Mitzi, welcome back for the second hour.
Good morning. Thank you, Chris. Happy to be back for the second hour.
Yeah. You mentioned that some people that you know are jumping off social media. It's funny that, as you said, their arms and legs don't fall off. Their limbs don't fall off. In fact, really, I mean, I know some people who've done that, and they always say they're happier and they feel better.
Yes, and I make the excuse that I keep a lot. I keep more aware of what's going on with my own family on there, but I just wonder how much of a sales pitch that is to myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been doing some of that lately.
What did we do before social media? What did we do before cell phones? My child has to have a cell phone so that, well, there was a time when we didn't, you know, and I mean, I have my own anecdotes that we could probably talk about at some point. That would be fun. as you know. But there was a time, I would say not that long ago in American history, where kids rode horses to school and things. And, you know, sometimes in weather like what we're experiencing now. And that was just life.
You know, people wrote letters, they wrote cards, they had coffee together, they played cards together. You know, it's very interesting to watch how, you know, I just yesterday had someone say that they don't have time to go out for coffee or to get together because they're so busy with their own family. And yet, I see some of the most personal things about their lives on social media at great detail, and it causes quite a confusion in my mind. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense? It's just very interesting. Just trying to take the time to sit back and observe some of this stuff that's going on, but then also how you interact with it. And like I said, it's a game I play in my mind that I need to stay on social media so that I can be more aware of what's going on in my own family. And it kind of sounds silly when I say it out loud.
Yeah. It's interesting how that works. Very interesting. So we have a caller. Should we go to the phones?
Let's go to the phones.
Okay, let's do that. Sherry in Kansas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Mitzi. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Sherry.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, that look you're talking about on seniors?
Yeah.
It might be because when they're being checked out by a young person at a store or something, and they can't count the change back to you unless it comes up on their cash register. You know, they can't count it back to you, and here your property taxes just keep going up and up, and a lot of it goes to the school, and you think, what the heck are they teaching these kids when they can't even count?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, I was just thinking when you were talking about just a few minutes ago, how many young people would know how to play dominoes, do you think? That could even add.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And quickly, you know, I mean, before calculators became a thing, I mean, my generation was the one where, as you know, Mitzi, you can attest, there was the discussion and debate over whether or not to allow calculators in school. Now it's obviously the Chromebooks. We can't live without the Chromebooks because, you know, we have to teach these kids how to do things and whatever. And I'm constantly thinking, well, how did the people who made the Chromebook manage to make the Chromebook without having the Chromebook? So
I really appreciate you bringing up the point about counting money back, Sherry, because that's a huge bone of contention for me. I know that if I have a larger bill than a $20 bill, I ask them to do that, and usually it creates a little carfunkel, but I think I made that word up.
Think you did.
When somebody does actually count money back to you, don't you just kind of look at them with surprise and thank them? I do.
Yes. Yes. I make a point to thank them.
I do too.
I can remember sitting down in the cellar because there was a tornado warning with my family when I was a kid, and we'd play dominoes. You know, there was a card table down there, and we'd play dominoes, and it was such a big family. We had a, like, what do they call them, went up to 12, not just 6, but 12 on the dominoes. But, you know, and when I went from a job both in the automotive field, where the younger people working there were probably within 10 years of my age. And then I came back to the Wichita area, and I was working at a motorcycle shop, and I had two kids that were like in their maybe late teens, early 20s. And, you know, they just didn't have the work ethic. They were smart on the computer, but, you know, unless you, there was stuff to do when they didn't have a customer. You know, there was always dusting in a parts department. Is that stuff and other things to do? But you'd have to remind them, yeah, we need to get this done too when you don't have a customer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my first job that I ever had, my real job other than babysitting and that sort of stuff, was at the A&W restaurant. And one of the very, very first things they taught us, I mean, and I even started out in the back as a cook, but one of the first things they taught you, no matter what you did in the restaurant, was how to count change back, because you never knew when you were going to end up being up on the till. And it was like, I can remember it was one of the first things that they taught me. And now I get into a lot of trouble because I go to places and ask kids. And sometimes their manager comes over and says, we don't need to teach them that. We've got the computer. And I just go, oh, boy.
Yeah, what happens when it goes down? And this is, you know, let's talk about digital currencies.
Yeah.
What happens when the power goes out? Like it does customarily this time of year in certain places. Anyway, I was thinking, you know, what you're talking about, Sherry, with the dominoes, it reminds me of that scene in White Christmas where the guys are, you know, Danny Kaye's character is trying to, you know, set Bing Crosby's character up. And so Bing Crosby's character is offended, and you know, he says, you don't expect me to get serious with the kind of characters you guys are trying to throw at me. And Danny Kaye says, well, you know, there've been some nice girls, you know. And Bing says, oh yeah, like the nuclear scientist we just met out in the hall. And so Danny Kaye says, all right, they didn't go to college, they didn't go to Smith. And Bing says, go to Smith, she couldn't even spell it. So I was thinking that when you said dominoes, how many could play dominoes? I'm thinking, you know, how many could spell dominoes? I don't know.
Well, I think I'm going to go get my set out, because I haven't played it for a long time, but I still know how.
Right on. Oh, you know how to play?
I'm gonna play it with my grandkids. Thanks, Sherry.
You mentioned you were in the cosmetology profession. And I used to have a book called Beauty to Die For. And
yes,
one of the things in it was that how poorly tested women's cosmetics are. You know, they get by with stuff. They even said that there was one a dye in some red lipstick that was related to breast cancer. But that in a cosmetologist, you know, hair dye or some of the other permanents, they're breathing in that, those fumes all day.
Well, and that's one thing that we've got some good new products for, because I think, you know, if you're into doing your research and quality, and again, it changes like way, way, way too quickly, but some companies are trying to eliminate that and get better and better. And choosing those companies is real important, because back in the day, you know, some of the companies were ruthless about doing anything to make a buck, basically. You know what I mean?
Yes. It makes me wonder, you've seen this product that they have for getting the dark circles. I don't know if it covers up. They act like it doesn't cover it up, but it kind of helps it dissolve back into your bloodstream or something. It makes me wonder about that.
Me too.
You know, but Yeah, that's, anyway.
What was your first job, Sherry?
My first job that I had to pay Social Security for was at a grocery store.
Uh-huh. And you learned how to count change.
Yeah, yeah. They started me out in the bakery, and then I moved up to the cash registers, but that was a fun job just because of the people I was working with, but, you know, but...
Was it a Kroger store?
No, it was an IGA down here, and there are hardly any IGAs left around here. But their Fleming's food system was generally the one that supplied them. And I only found that out when I moved somewhere else, and we had a Fleming's warehouse beside us in this garage I worked at. You know, and I found out, well, they're the ones that supplied the IGA stores. But, the IGA stood for Independent Grocers Association, I think.
I didn't know that.
And, the Kroger here in my part of Kansas, it's called Dillon's. They bought out the Dillon's brand. When all during the COVID stuff, you know, they were wanting their people to get the shot, spot shot.
Uh-huh.
And if they refused and they got any flu-like symptoms that they wanted to use their sick leave for, they weren't going to pay them sick leave.
Mm.
And I was working
How many for, people quit, I wonder?
Yeah. Well, I was working for a company that, an inventory company that did contracted with them. And that's all we did around where I lived is filling stores, and I just thought, well, I got other things to do. I quit them, and not because of the people weren't treating me good, but just because that's what Kroger does. You know, they ran the IGA out of business that was owned by someone I knew from my youth, and because of the way they price things, and I just. It's just sickening how these big companies do. You know, running. And this is a small town. I mean, it's less than 15,000 people. That's considered small nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
anyway.
That's why I like to talk about going shopping local. And when you're in a small town, you almost have to. And, you know, and so anyway, it's all very interesting, isn't it, Christopher?
Well, it's hard to find, you know, there's a little town I'm close to that I get my mail out of, and it's not very big at all, and they don't have a grocery store. They have something associated with the school now, but because, you know, they don't get the same pricing on their stuff that a place like Kroger does and Walmart does, it's... Like, their meat is so high, you know. Of course, I don't buy much meat anymore, so can't afford it.
Well, and then you have to check the quality of that, too, just like the cosmetics.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what you're getting. It's a challenging world. I don't know how old you are, Sherry, but it's... You know, it's a challenging world how much you have to think about everything. You know, I used to run into the grocery store, grab some things, and run out. And now it's like I'm going to a movie. I'm in there studying everything. It's crazy.
Can
We're
I hold
headed
on
into
one
a break.
More thing, Chris?
Yep. Yes. Yep. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
We could let that go, and that could be an extended musical interlude. Anyway, you know, what you two were talking about a moment ago, ladies, reminds me of the, you know, speaking of change and the constant of change, it seems. There's the GMO stuff, but more recently, you know, there is the bioengineered foods stuff, which is just a few. It's, you know, and I'm going to have to circle back around and talk about this more later, but the list is not that long, and most people don't understand what it is or how it works. And meats are, they don't need to be classified that way. They are under different regulatory requirements. So
about the CRISPR stuff, the stuff they used like CRISPR on.
Not just that, but that's included. Yeah.
Yeah. That's dirty. I think that's disgusting. There's a lot of companies that are buying these more natural food companies and get weaseling their way onto the organic board, the board that makes these decisions about what's considered organic and what is not. And that's how a lot of this stuff is getting passed off as organic, is what I've heard.
That's one of the ways.
Yeah. But I was going to say on the labeling, I heard someone say that if there is so little of something in a product that they don't even have to put it on the label, and like this Neotame, which is supposed to be aspartame on steroids, that they don't even have to put that on there because there is so little of it in the product. So if something tastes sweet and there's nothing obvious on the label, it's probably got Neotame in it. And I know on aspartame, they're supposed to have what they call a PKU warning, which is, stands for one of the amino acids in there that some people are sensitive to. But I even heard that, you know, sometimes they only have to put 80% of the ingredients on the label if the others don't meet the threshold of. And there was a recall the other day on somebody that, because they had some weed in a product and they didn't put it on the label, their product, I think they recalled it voluntarily, but got recalled. Anyway, I better hang up.
Yeah, I intend to dive into that discussion more this year. Speaking of war, but not today.
All right.
Thanks, bye. Sherry.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you, Sherry.
Chris.
Thank you, much appreciated as always. And you know, for me,
I appreciate Sherry. She's well informed. I think she's she does her work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the kind of sage wisdom and experience that I think we were referring to when we were talking about that. And I mentioned Proverbs 16:31 as an example of how that's biblical. You know, we would do well to, you know, that used to be a thing. I mean, we've talked about how in bygone generations it was not uncommon for several generations of family to live under one roof, and it was a good thing. It created stability, and the younger generation was able to learn from the older generation. The older generation was honored by that, and you know, it wasn't a bad thing. But we have a society that's been sort of flipped upside down, and all of that has been turned inside out and backwards. And now young people most of the time think that they're pretty fancy and they know just about everything. And that's not a new thing. I can speak for my generation. We, you know, I mean, I remember being told by my great grandma, you kids are so smart these days. I only made it through the eighth grade. But you know what? She was pretty sharp.
Pretty sharp.
And there are things that I could learn from her to this day. So anyway, we're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tehi Bo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Yeah, the constantly moving things around, you know, without diving down the rabbit hole, we got to go back to the phones in a second. But, you know, the bioengineered food stuff is just another obfuscation of language. Speaking of Orwell, Blair, 1984, reminds me of a lot of other things, you know. For example, the World Economic Forum is doing their thing this week, and so that's fun, except not. And, you know, speaking of, you know, changes that are big, big changes, they're usually advocating that without going into that too far. You know, this includes some of the, you know, zero, the net zero kind of stuff and things like that. And, so, you know, without getting too, I mean, it would be really easy to just sort of careen off the deep end and start talking about stuff. Dr. Patrick Moore, the Greenpeace co-founder, who said, you know, that the net zero stuff, the Green New Deal stuff, is a recipe for mass suicide. You know, these kinds of things that are happening that are obviously in contravention to common sense and sanity and reason are, I think, part of what represents that or constitutes that change that we're talking about that is just kind of overwhelming to the average mind. And but these are things that generally don't get discussed in a level-headed sort of way. And that, again, you know, it creates a considerable degree of difficulty, I think, just in everyday life. I don't know if we want to scratch at that at all or just go back to the phones, but I'm just trying to speak to the change that is happening all around us that we're sort of gaslighted on.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, what pops into my head that really challenges me, for example, is dinners, you know, having your family or friends over for meals and the complexity of people's beliefs and about their diets and what they can eat and what they can't eat and trying to, you know, you used to just make food and have people come eat it, and now it's not that easy. And I think it's just another thing to keep us isolated.
Well, that's interesting because there are laundry lists in the Bible of, you know, that speak to a generation or an era where things have gone off the rails. One of those lists is Romans chapter 1. For example, and you know, this is predicated on a certain thing, Romans 1:28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which were not proper. And so there's a reason this happens or that it gets this far along. But this, you know, these laundry lists, they sound familiar to me these days, like this one: being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And in this case, it's verse 32 says, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. And a couple of the other lists are 1 Timothy 4, for example, the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. There's some stuff there, but then there's also another list in 2 Peter chapter 3. To realize this, I believe, knowing, first of all, you know, what I'm getting at is there's, you know, a contingent of folks that are ungrateful, and gratitude is an interesting thing. And so to the point that you're making, there was a time not too long ago when we would all show up and we'd be grateful that someone took the time and effort to put together a gathering and, you know, put food on the table for everyone. And now, like you said, increasingly there's an ungrateful attitude in some that says, you know, well, how dare you be so inconsiderate as to not recognize my special diet. And it's, you know, that definitely will cool, I think, someone's enthusiasm for trying to go to the time and effort to put together a family gathering.
Yes, maybe we need to start a new movement called BYOM and just all get together and bring your own meal. Then you don't have to worry about it. BYOM.
Or, you know, maybe, I mean, I could think of some, I could have some fun with this, but maybe just, you know, BYO, SD or something, or you know, bring your own special diet, special plate, special meal, whatever. Because, you know, there was, and that's part of the, you know, there are certain cultures where if you don't eat what's put in front of you, I mean, that's offensive. And in some cases, maybe they want to take you out and skin you.
Yep.
So, you know, there's something very kind of spiritual about breaking bread together. This is a concept that is spoken to in the Bible, and it has, you know, traditions that go way back. It's spoken of in the Bible in both a good and a not so good sense. You know, you're not supposed to, the Bible says that, you know, as Christians, we're not supposed to eat food that has been sacrificed to idols. And so, you know, there's something deeper about the point that you raised about the food thing. Breaking bread is a special thing, and to, you know, it can be a good thing or it can be a very disruptive and chaotic thing like you're talking about. And
well, and here's a question for you. Do you think it is the same sort of event if you break bread together at someone's home or at like a restaurant? Do you think there's a difference there?
Yeah, there is. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think so too.
Because, you know, and again, I mean, if we go back generations, definitely, you know, I think you could make a case that the difference these days, differences in those environments is narrowed considerably for reasons that I won't mention now. But, you know, there was a time where putting together the food obviously consisted of the love that went into it. And that was, you know, that just sort of went without saying. And it was a loving thing. Maybe this will make sense. Maybe it won't. But it was a loving thing that someone did. It was kind of a selfless thing. It was a way of giving. But it wasn't something that, you know, anybody talked about, or, you know, obviously the person doing it didn't say, I'm doing this because it's my loving gesture. That wasn't the thing. But they did it because of the love in their heart for the people that are gathering and the joy, you know, that it gives everyone, including the person making the food. And today that's sort of flipped, I think. In most cases, when there's an effort to get those people together, a lot of times what'll happen is there's the, you know, none of us have time, and so everybody's going to the store and buying, you know, pies from the store and this and that. And those who might be making something are doing it for their own sort of self-gratification in some cases. And that, this is a cynical perspective, but I'm just trying to illustrate a point. It's different than it was in, you know, a bygone era. And I don't mm-hmm. think that's, I don't think that's better. I don't think the way things are now are better in that
mm-hmm.
case. Does that make sense? Did I make sense at all?
Absolutely. And what pops into my head was Thursdays at Granny's house. Remember Thursdays at Granny's house was always card day, and people would come to play cards, and there was always a big pot of something, whether it be, you know, chili or soup or whatever, and there was always a plum cake, and it was a joyful thing, you know. It was just a joyful thing, and nothing was bought at the store. Whatever was there was prepared fresh, and you know, it was pretty special. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked what the ingredients were. You know, they got a bowl and just had food.
Maybe they had too much food, but you know what? So what?
Exactly.
Sometimes Granny would say, "Does this one taste different?" Well, what do you mean? What did you do to it? Well, does it taste different? Well, what'd you do? Well, does it taste different? Well, kind of, especially now that you're asking me, what'd you do? Well, does it taste different? Anyway. All right, we got calls stacking up. We should go to the phones.
Perfect.
Probably have to skip the break. We lost Casper. Feel free to call back. Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Is it my turn? No.
Your
Good
turn.
Morning.
Do
Good
it.
Morning.
Hey, okay.
Good morning.
So, real quick, my sister's dog has lymphoma. So, she's like doing a lot of research and on dog food. And she is watching a veterinarian who she keeps going to these meetings about food because. I mean, her clientele has risen a lot, you know, because of sick animals with joint problems, et cetera, et cetera. And she was saying that it's another way for whoever makes this garbage to get the waste products, get rid of them. And I'll tell you, my sister has two dogs, and neither one of them, she was feeding them, I think it was Beneful or something, and one day they both just said, forget it. You know, they're not eating it. So she's like, why aren't they eating the food? So then she started doing research, and the lady said, if you have a pet that's not going to eat the food, don't make them, because they know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You should know. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I just wanted to throw that out there. It's kind of like fluoride. You know, it's a waste product. They put it in the water. We drink it. It's just mm-hmm. another way, you know, to slowly kill people, kill animals. It's, you know.
We should be smart as dogs. And then, you know.
I know. I know, right? And she said that she'd go to these meetings and she'd stand up. She said she would get emotional. She would cry. And she'd take her, they'd say, okay, you can take your seat now. And she said all the people, the heads of the food companies that were sitting behind her, they were laughing at her.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, you're not going to get anything done. You might as well just go home. Ridiculous.
Hmm.
I'm gonna. There's so many reasons I should turn into an activist. So many, so many things. But, you know, this is what, I mean, if people would just wake up and say, no more, we're done, you know? But, oh, I don't know how she kept her cool at that meeting. I'm not kidding. It'd be like, let's take it outside, okay? Anyway,
yeah,
it's just
so
frustrating to hear. But animals are very instinctual, and they do know when you're trying, not on purpose, I'm sure, but, you know, they're not going to eat something that's going to kill them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you got all the shots and all that garbage. Anyway, all right, thank you guys for taking my call. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rhonda. Much appreciated.
Bye, Rhonda.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Speaking of that, the Neotame stuff, aspartame stuff that Sherry was talking about, it just keeps reminding me of Don Harkin's piece, The Artificially Sweetened Times, back in the day, back in the fall of 2009. Anyway, we got to get back to the phones in the interest of time. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Wow, yeah, food companies laughing at us. I have to wonder about that spiritually, what's going on. And I just ran across something you might have heard about. I don't know, but there's apparently two different copies of the Old Testament where the rabbis have removed 100 years from the lives of the grandsons of Noah instead of being 30 years when they had their first sons. It looks like that was more like 130 years before they had their first sons. And what that does is straighten up the timeline for the Tower of Babel. And the Egyptology matches up much better, and the flood would put the flood back, you know, quite a few farther back, like 1600 years ago. But that's not what I called in about. I do think that that lines up with the certain demographics kind of out to get us with the food or whatever. I heard this one story preached two different ways to flip it 180 degrees out of the Old Testament. And you're talking about being grateful and blessing your food and things like that. Of course, the Hebrews, when they were enslaved of Egypt, had to eat whatever they had, you know, and then they got out there in the wilderness and they were blessed with the water and the manna, but they got to being all ungrateful, you know, and and lamenting that, oh, we had it so much better back when we were slaves in Egypt.
And, Moses, why'd you bring us out here to die?
Yeah, well, they weren't dying.
Yeah, exactly.
Until they ran after those quail. Or, you know, whatever was wrong with those quail, a bunch of them died. They named it after the place after lust because they apparently if you believe Psalms, they tempted God with the meat that they craved. And it was interesting you mentioned in Revelations we're not supposed to be eating meat sacrificed to idols. It's mentioned twice. So we better exercise the faith to pray over what we're eating today, I'm thinking, because there are enemies of the Christian gospel that I think they won't care a bit to keep us sick and make money off our slow decline for the last 20 years of our life. Selling us every kind of meds, and my bologna has a first name and it ain't kosher.
Yeah.
Right. 40 pigs in that stuff too, probably parts and pieces of. So you were talking about, you know, the bygone era before refrigeration, I don't think people ate anywhere near the amount of meat that they do, because if you want a chicken, you had to go up there and kill the thing and skin it or pluck it and make a big mess before you could get your fried chicken or your chicken and dumplings or whatever. It was a little bit of work. You couldn't just go to the store and buy Purdue and trust that they're not giving them antibiotics and whatever else.
Yeah, pumping it full of salt and everything else, yep.
Yeah, get them to market as quick as possible. Well, the goal is to get these animals to market as quickly as possible, so they don't really care what they're feeding them, I think, as long as the FDA is looking the other way. I just heard that they granted the cattle industry in England can now use PAP, processed animal protein, again. And who knows what that's limited to, except they cannot put bovine or ruminant animal protein on the hot mix feed. They can't give them cow protein anymore. In other words, making them cannibals.
Right, but exactly.
Roadkill? I mean, what else can go in there?
Right. Defining terms is always fun. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you go. Pray over your
machine,
that's for sure.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Mike, as always. You have a thought, Mitzi, before we go back to the phones?
Yeah, it just reminded me I need to talk to my local farmer. I don't even want to buy stuff at the store. I have a farmer that I buy my my animal products and more in the summertime, my plant products, but I'm actually going to see her this afternoon. And I think that's, if it's all at all possible for you, that's the only way to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my thought.
Right on. I like it. Let's go back to the phones and grab James in Vancouver. James, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, well, 1987 was the year they published the technology for CRISPR. And CRISPR allows food companies to create all of the proteins in a vat of some kind of fluid. And CRISPR, it can make mistakes. It can edit genes that shouldn't be in there. So that's probably why the dogs and cats especially, when they smell something, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to take it because it's not what they want. And then they know if something's weird. So
yeah,
but this CRISPR thing is dangerous. And I remember George Herbert Walker Bush. They said, well, Mr. President, do you want us to test this? Well, are they the same? Yes, Mr. President, they're exactly the same. Well, no need to test then. And bingo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's, the process industry is driven by time and money, so shortcuts often are taken. And quality control, I remember I had a fantastic professor back in 1981, and it was a seminar-like class, although he worked us really hard. After dinner, 6 p.m. was question period, because during the day you couldn't ask questions for time's sake. He wanted them done from 7 till 10 at night. We went to school about 18 hours a day. He said, got up in front of the class and said, well, you know, quality control, when it comes to quality control, often the quality control engineers don't do the tests. They just fill in the blanks and sign it. And one student says, is that really true? Oh, yeah, of course. See, so this is used to happen to in the industry I was in, which was epoxy pipeline coating. So, anyway, well, all the best. And I'm going to be in Montana in 15 minutes to have that Montana roast beef and potatoes and gravy. How's that?
There you go. See
you there.
Okay. I'm sorry, ma'am. Your name's Mitzi, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mitzi. And look forward to talking to you guys again.
Have a good day.
Take care now.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, bye now.
Much appreciated.
Bye-bye.
As always. And that's pretty much it. That's a wrap. We're at the end of the broadcast today. Final thoughts real quick?
Just how inspirational people are. And, you know, it's refreshing to talk to all the folks that call in to talk to you. And it just makes for a better Monday.
I agree. And I hope we're off to a good week. A nice week for everyone. Thank you, Mom.
Bye, Chris.
Thank you, Mitzi.
You're welcome, Chris. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
I hope it was informative, perhaps even, I don't know, a little entertaining today. Thanks to the callers. Please pray for one another and support the network. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to Destroyer of Weakness and Conqueror of Mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you